CJLO 1690 AM, hour two of Grade A Explosives. We are here and we are doing a very special show today because everyone in America is probably still hungover from the raucous 248 year anniversary of the founding of the country on July 4th. And I felt the need to capitalize on this by doing something appropriate. And what's more appropriate than highlighting bands from the Capitol, D.C.? I'm joined by Rob Avery, who is here going over a not even close to exhaustive list of bands that are from the D.C. area. We're going over the heavy hitters now. This is like 101. We got to start somewhere. What you just heard before the break was from Frodus, Fugazi, and Dag Nasty, if we're going backwards in order. And if you want to go forwards in order, you know what to do. You understand how to do things, I hope. If not, then the school system has failed you. Ah, there's another American thing we can celebrate. Oh, sadness. Anyway, so yeah, we've gone over a bunch of things here. I'm noticing, Rob, as you talk about a lot of these bands, at least from what you're describing, sound like they have a lot of juxtaposition for their sound. I always am interested to hear when people identify a scene, if there's anything that kind of holds among a majority of the bands, and besides genre, obviously. Would you say that kind of juxtaposition is kind of intrinsic to these bands that are on this list?
At a high level, yes. You could describe a lot of them as not traditional. The most traditional punk you're going to hear is probably, you know, Minor Threat and Dag Nasty. But beyond that, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of discordant kind of tones. There's a lot of dynamics. So really, really loud, really, really quiet, everything in between. But that thread of continuity that I think makes it DC versus anything else, it's kind of hard to put your finger on. And I think the incestuous nature of, like, if you look at like a band like Hoover, they have Fred Erskine, who's their bass player, who's like one of my favorite bass players of all time when it comes to punk and hardcore and weird emo stuff. But he's got like this dub reggae thing where, as a younger teenager, I couldn't put my finger on it because I didn't have like a foundation of even Bob Marley at that point. You get in your 30s and you're like, oh wait, Bob Marley's pretty rad. So if you follow kind of Fred's path, and again, I'm not a musical historian, but he was in bands like June of 44, who's kind of crossover DC / Louisville band, and Crown Hate Ruin, I think he was in. But they all have this kind of swagger, this dub reggae kind of bass driven low bottom end thumping kind of swagger to them. And I think there's a lot of DC bands. Obviously Bad Brains has a reggae influence, like where they actually have reggae songs, but I would put them more in that kind of punk category with Minor Threat and Dag Nasty. But yeah, the DC vibe and the DC sound is definitely eclectic. And I think the band that probably encapsulates it the most is definitely Fugazi in that regard, where they kind of span all of the things that I just kind of described.
Now, I've been to DC a couple of times to see shows, but mainly as a tourist, seeing things like Smithsonian's and things like that. As someone who sounds like you've gone to way more shows than what I have, so you probably have a better kind of experience of the city and area. I have heard many bands tell me that like where they're at is kind of the extra member of the band. I mean, this is very popular with New York bands, right? They'll be like, oh, well, New York is our like sixth member or whoever it is. Do you think that's the same for bands from DC? Do you think they have that kind of same feeling to them? Or is it, or are they bands where the city is actually like an opposition to what they've got going on?
I feel like, and again, I'm an outsider, so it's more of an assumption and mm-hmm. just an observation than it is me being adamant to say it's one way or the other. But I do feel like, again, going back to the political aspect of it, they created their own kind of POV in DC that ended up being that fifth or sixth member. And I would say that the scene itself, and I keep going back to Discord, but like it really is like the pillar or the foundation or kind of the main tentpole, whatever weird analogy you want to use. that was the fifth or sixth member of the bands, where again it was that ethos and that we're going to keep the shows $5, we're going to do it ourselves, we're going to put out the records ourselves, we're going to keep this thing going our way and do it in a way that's it's authentic, you know. It's just it's just kind of keeping true to what they want to do. And like, there's some weird shit that got put out on Discord, some weird records like that aren't hardcore, they're not punk, they're not something that would be, and I'm using air quotes, commercially viable, even within its own scene, which I think also proves that they're focused on creating art. And again, going back to that analogy of capturing a scene in time and being more like museum-esque in terms of the way that they're capturing it. I think that's kind of what I think of when I think of DC.
Let's get in some more music here. People have heard us chatting here. They're like, shut up, you two, play some more music for us. And so
shut up and rock.
Let's fulfill their wish. What have you got here? Let's do two tracks here. What have you got to provide for us here?
So the band that came before Regulator Watts is called Hoover. And honestly, next to Fugazi, as far as the number of times that I've played a record, I think I've bought the first Hoover LP on cassette tape. I bought it on vinyl. I bought it on CD, and I probably worn all three of those things down to a nub. But that band just caught me at the right time. And again, I use the term emo, but I don't mean like whatever mascara wearing weird stuff came out in the early 2000s, like real emotional hardcore with Hoover. It kind of had the San Diego vibe. With like an Antioch Arrow or like a lot of the Swing Kids, a lot of the screamy emotional stuff that came out in the early 90s kind of had that vibe, but also a lot of the, again, that really heavy bass driven dub kind of feel that Fred Erskine provided. I don't know whether they broke up or not, or just stopped playing music, but the band that came after that is called Regulator Watts. And it was very much like if that record came out under the name Hoover, you'd be like, oh, okay. Like it feels like a good continuation of what they were doing. So I think it's part of why I really gravitated towards it and loved it. And I went to see them in Philly at the Unitarian Church. Actually my band Dorian Gray opened up for them. I had no idea that they're a three piece, and seeing them play and just hearing that in front of me, like, first of all, when I heard it, I was like, I can't believe I never got to see Hoover live. This is like the closest I'll get to it. But just wall of sound and just amazingly dynamic and great hooks, great vocals, amazing songwriting, awesome, awesome stuff. So that's Regulator Watts. I don't even know how the heck you pronounce this. Mercurochrome?
That sounds close. Let's go with that.
I'm not a lyrics or song title guy, so I know it is the first track on their record. And then one of the weirdest bands, I think, to come out of DC. And again, they had this vibe. They had this aesthetic that was political. It was propaganda art. It was, like I said, the name of one of the records is the 13-Point Program to Destroy America. As a guitar player and a songwriter, when I hear their records, I'm like, what are they doing? Like, is it a weird, it's almost like a Sonic Youth thing where you're like, is that a weird tuning? Like, are they playing the guitar upside down? If you picked up the guitar to try to like mimic what it was they were doing, I wouldn't even know where to put my fingers. The songs are just freaking weird. And they're not like the song structure. It's not like verse, chorus, bridge, outro. Like they're just this jumble of kinetic energy. And that's another band I would have loved to have seen live. I don't even think they could have pulled it off live. I want to go on YouTube now and see if I can find something, but like they almost like were, I don't know if you ever heard Drive Like Jehu. They kind of have that vibe where it's very frenetic and just the tempos really going pretty quickly, and it's emotional. It's awesome. So I think the whole package there with Nation of Ulysses is something that I loved. And then Red Hair, who is basically Swizz under a different name. There's so many bands. Think about it nowadays. Like, there's so many bands that, like, hey, the kids that liked us when we were 19, we're now all in our late 30s. We should cash in on the fact that people will come out and see us again. So let's keep that old band from 15 years ago or 20 years ago going. I kind of love that they were like, you know what? We're going to, like, it's the same guys doing similar music, but we're going to just call it something different. So that's Red Hair and the song Affirmation. But yeah, it's basically Jason Farrell and Sean from Swizz doing a new band, and it's old school hardcore punk, and it's awesome.
Cool. Well, let's give a listen to these. So we're going to have Regular Watts, Nation of Ulysses, and Red Hair, who are all going to be playing, all bands from DC, in case you missed the common theme of what's going on with this show. And if you did, then you haven't been listening, and that's just deeply shameful. I hope that one day you'll live through the shame that you've brought upon yourself. All right, let's get into some music. I'm joined once again by Rob Avery, and we're talking about DC stuff. So keep it locked. Here's some bands for you to enjoy. CJLO 1690M. This is Grade A Explosives.
Yeah!